Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is James Montemagno.
Awesome to be back.
Good buddy from Xamarin.
Good to be back, Robert. And thanks for having me.
This is the second of our round two of our Xamarin Marathon.
That's right, yeah. You joined us last year. We're back again. I'm super excited to be back to talk about all the exciting things that have changed in the last year. Things
That's
happen in
awesome
mobile
to have you.
Fast, so it's good to be back.
So in the previous episode, we talked about Xamarin Forms, cool stuff. It was about an hour long, but the time seemed to go fast.
Yeah.
And there's cool stuff. We'll try to keep this one under an hour.
Absolutely, that's the goal.
But there's a lot to show, so.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Xamarin Designer for iOS apps. And this is cool. So when we talked about Xamarin Forms, we kind of talked about, we know you can share code across. That's pretty straightforward and understandable, but do you really have to write the UI three times? And you showed us last time that with Xamarin Forms, we're moving down the path of being able to write it once. So now we're going to switch back to the native model where you are writing the UI multiple times, which is fine. But for iOS apps, up until this point, if you want a visual designer, you switch over to Xcode, which it's fine because to build the app, you're going to get yourself a Mac and you're going to have Xcode anyway. So it's not overly onerous, but why can't I just stay in Visual Studio? Wouldn't it be nice if Xamarin provided me a designer for iOS apps?
Correct. And when we announced Xamarin 3 last year, a lot of things came with it. Not only the Xamarin Forms launch, but also Xamarin Designer for iOS. And that was the whole idea is, I've been a Visual Studio developer forever. It seems like it's my favorite IDE. I love it. It has everything built in nowadays, and has great extensibility as well. So if you're used to your tool set, how the IDE looks and performs and acts, you don't really want to leave it.
Yep.
So that's the entire idea behind.
Are you willing to leave it for more advanced things? Like it's the way we treat Blend, right? I've got the XAML designer, which by now is actually based on the same code base as Blend. So I'm in Visual Studio, and then if I need to do something that's more design, then I would leave Visual Studio and go into Blend, which is it's a better tool for working on the actual design than Visual Studio is, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's made for that.
Yes, it's made for that. Yeah. And then what happens is you're producing the same XAML. So you can open up the project in Blend, make changes to it, open it back up in Visual Studio, back and forth.
Yeah, right? And that's kind of what the experience was before, except for before the Xamarin Designer for iOS, you actually had to use Xamarin Studio on the Mac, because there is no Visual Studio on the Mac. And then you had to open up your projects, which is nice, because Xamarin Studio and Visual Studio, the projects are compatible.
Right.
But it's like, okay, now I'm in Visual Studio, now I got to jump to Xamarin Studio, then I got to jump to Xcode. Yeah. So it's like these multiple hoops. If it's one, it's not horrible, like Blend experience, but going through multiple OSs and back and forth, it doesn't delight developers, really. And as Xamarin, we're all about delighting developers and making mobile application fun.
Yep.
That's the entire idea. So that's where I think the envisioning of creating the Xamarin Designer for iOS came from.
Yes.
So we have like one slide to point out some of the key features. I'm pretty excited about one slide. But the biggest important part, or two slides, the biggest important part is that we follow the Apple Storyboard format.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important because that means if any existing storyboard that you have today, if you're doing Objective-C applications, can come on over. And that means
that's important. I need to be able to open this in Xcode. I need to be able to hand this off to my designer or somebody who has those skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like, if it started in Xcode, I want to be able to open it in Visual Studio.
I want to be able to open it in Visual Studio. And you want all the features.
Yes.
So, as well. So that means that we have feature parity between what was available in Xcode and Interface Builder and Visual Studio here. Mm-hmm. This is actually a nice little overview. This screenshot here is the Evolve Quest application, which I built out, which is a lot of screens in our application. It's actually iBeacon support, so going, it's like a scavenger hunt at our conference, which is really cool. I built this, and it's not just like single page screens, it's actually multiple pages actually interacting as well. So, like I said, we follow the Apple Storyboard format, but fancy animations, I did that. That took a lot of time. I'm not a PowerPoint master. But I think what's important is there's all sorts of different version control, TFS, Git, who knows. The nice thing about storyboards compared to nib files, these individual screens, a storyboard to describe, if you don't know what a storyboard is, it's a section of your application or your entire application, and it handles navigation. So before storyboards, how iOS application was done was one of two ways. You had a thing called a view controller, which was a single screen, and you either wrote all the UI and the code behind in C Sharp, which kind of not great, or you had this thing called the XIB file, a NIB file, and that was a single screen of your application. Then you had to open that up in Xcode. You had to draw these lines and do all this wackiness, and it wasn't XML-based, it wasn't human-readable, wasn't version control friendly. So storyboards are nice because we're all living with source control at this point, right. Hopefully. At some point, even if it's myself, I just use GitHub and Visual Studio Online just for myself personally, and I like it. Integrates into tools like CodeLens, which I think is amazing. So version control friendly, super important, especially for any development being done today. We took a look at, we just didn't want to recreate the storyboard designer inside of Visual Studio and Xamarin Studio. We wanted to make sure that .NET developers, it made sense to them.
Okay.
You know, because there's certain things that we take for granted, like an event panel where we have all of our events. Right. Who would have thought? Or a default, like when you double click a button, what should that do? Should probably create the click handler and the code behind.
Yep.
So we made it for, we added some nice intricacies that tie directly into the IDE that we're going to show, which makes it really nice. So really built for C-sharp developers. A unique feature.
Which doesn't happen in Xcode.
Doesn't happen in Xcode, correct.
You gotta do some plumbing and wiring up yourself, which
The
first time you see it, it's like, wait a minute, why do I have to do that? I thought I stopped doing that when Visual Basic 3 was in. I think that's when it first appeared, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
Not that I was alive back then, of course, but that's just what I learned from,
That's what you've read on the internet.
The annals of computer history.
Yeah. What's really unique is we also allow you to bring over custom controls that you're writing in C#, and run those controls live. So if you have bar charts, graphs, whatever, you can add custom properties. They show up in the property pane like you would expect, and it runs your C# code live. And then we have all the features that you would expect, such as auto layout support, constraints, everything that is coming from the storyboard format.
Okay.
So let's build something.
Cool.
You ready?
Let's go.
All right. So what I want to build here is I want
to... And let's, while we're at it, to the extent that it makes sense, should we assume that people have never done a storyboard?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's my assumption. This is your first iOS application.
Okay, good.
So let's walk through that from scratch. So this is file new project at its finest. We are going to bring in some code behind.
Sure.
But that's about it. Everything is UI, because that's what we care about here. We've gone through the code behind. So we're going to do file new project. Now, I've gone to Xamarin.com, started my free trial. Of course, I'm paid, so I'm good here. But I have Visual Studio installed. This is 2013, also works in 2015, 2012, 2010, and the community edition as well. And of course, I have my Android templates, iOS templates, and this is where it's important. So here we have a lot of different templates for just a blank application, a master detail view. We're going to start with a single view application, so a single screen. So we're going to call this Bing Images. And what we're going to do is we're going to create an application that we can enter some text in, query that using the Bing service that lives up in Azure. It has a really nice RESTful JSON service that can pull down Bing images. We're going to use some components to actually download and cache those images for us in a nice collection view, so columns and rows automatically. And then we're going to tweet it. So we're actually going to select one, do some navigation, see how that's done, and then tweet that live.
Hmm. Okay.
Let's make it happen. So when I click New, this is going to create my iOS application right inside of Visual Studio. And we're going to notice a few things. It's going to look familiar. We have properties. We have references. We have some resources where our images go. And then we have our storyboard file that we'll be editing. And then this thing called a view controller. So we're going to create a few view controllers, which is the code behind for each of our pages.
Okay.
The first thing I want to do, though, even before we open up anything, is we're going to add a brand new project. And we're coming to C#, and we'll say shared. And we're going to add a shared project. So we'll call this Bing Images.shared. There we go. So there's just some shared code projects. You could put this in a portable class library. It's up to you. We're going to bring over some CS files. Put
and
that in
the
there.
And the reason you're adding a shared project to just the IO, just the iOS app is?
Imagine that we've built out our iOS application. What happens next when we want to bring it to Android, Windows Phone, Windows Store? This is my shared project here. This is my shared code. And this is just code that I took some JSON properties that are coming down from Bing, such as the media URL, title, height, width of the file.
So you're just doing this so that when, if and when you add additional UIs, you don't have to create the shared and move everything into it.
Exactly.
You could certainly put those in the iOS project and be done with it.
Exactly. Right? It doesn't even matter. Yeah. Yep. Kind of just showing like how I would probably kind of get up and running on it here. So we have some images here. So this little helper, I kind of structured in MVVM way, but not really. I would say I just kind of have some helper methods that go off and query the data market on Azure using Bing, and it uses some network credentials and HTTP client to pull down that query and uses JSON.NET to deserialize it, which means...
And those keys are the ones that you need to have to use Bing.
Correct.
Right? I've hidden them. You give yourself a Bing developer account and...
Right. And start using the Azure Data Store. I was really surprised. This is I've used the data market before on Azure. If you don't know what the data market is, it's all these great services from a plethora of companies, including Microsoft, that have all these great APIs that you can pull in. A lot of them are just RESTful service calls. So here, this code coming from the data market that I'm paying for is going to be used in my iOS, Android, Windows applications. And everything here is just .NET code.
Right.
So we can see there's some things missing from here, so we want to add some references. We're going to add system.http, so we get that in there. And then we want to manage our NuGet packages, and we need to add JSON.NET. So if we were going to go ahead and do this in iOS or Android, we'd obviously want to add those as well. So we'll let NuGet spin up here, super speedy today. The one place that JSON.NET lives. If I was good, there we go. There we go. I could do that offline. We'll go ahead and add JSON.NET. This is being added right into iOS.
Is there a way, well, can you do it locally? Is there a way of taking these packages that you use all the time and just having them local and then adding them from a local? Can you create local, essentially, repositories?
That are faster than NuGet, yes.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, so. And the problem then is you got to wonder if you're using the latest version, but
yeah, you don't get updates per se.
Yeah.
But for demo purposes, I try to pretend that I'm master of presentations in this, but I always assume there's internet, which is probably a bad assumption.
Yeah.
But you can come into your settings of your NuGet package manager and add local repositories.
Okay.
And what's nice is that actually, there's an API for NuGet.org that you can download the NuSpec packages, which do it for you automatically, which is good. So you can do that, but pretty good. It's usually faster. But we got JSON.NET. We can see James Newton King's very happy we did that. And of course, we want to add this shared project reference.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and add that Bing search. Go ahead and reload everything for us. And now we're good to go. So we can see all the IntelliSense here is lighting up. This code, not super important because we want to create the user interface here. So let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and spin up our storyboard here. So just double click on the storyboard and this will bring in the designer for iOS. The first time it spins up, it's going to take a little bit longer just as it's spinning up all the processes that it needs to. And it's important to know that what I'm doing here is I'm connected to a Mac somewhere on my network. It happens to be the same computer here, just because I'm inside of VMware, but it doesn't have to be.
Can you do this with the Mac in a cloud online type?
Any Mac anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, any Mac anywhere, as long as you're connected.
But at this point, if you're going to spend time designing and you're going to spend hours connected to something in the cloud, you're going to pretty soon spend as much money as would it cost you to buy a Mac.
Totally.
So
yeah. Probably want to actually, do that.
Not to mention the speed.
The speed of it.
If you just want to test something, if you built an app and you want to test it, the cloud services are awesome.
Yeah.
By the time you get to this point, you should probably bite the bullet.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a MacBook Pro, Mac Mini, a few $100, you're good to go.
Yep.
So this is a screen of our application. What do you know? I have a toolbox. With all of the controllers and controls on my application, feel right at home. Here, I have a property window. So this is all the properties and events for this actual view controller that's here. I can set different properties. And let's start building out an application. We're gonna do two screens, so we'll need some sort of navigation controller. So here's my navigation controller. And we'll go ahead and kind of draw this out. And we'll move this around. So we'll get rid of this line. There we go. So we got a few pages here, and this is my root. So we actually need to change our root. So we'll grab this little kind of arrowy thing and say, this is the actual start of our application. Okay. And we'll want to somehow get from page one to page two here. So what I'm going to do first is I need to tell my navigation controller where to go. Basically, what is my default root page? This is kind of the only time when navigation comes up that we have this line. I'm going to hold down the control button, and we're going to see I have this line here to say, where is my root controller?
Okay.
I'm going to point it here and say, relationship root. It's going to draw a line, and we get a little title bar up here as well. I could change this to Bing Images. And that's going to be my default here. And we can see automatically the property pane in the bottom right-hand side was updated for me. So back and forth, every item inside of the designer has a default representation of what to do when you double-click it. So if it's a label, you double-click it, you get some things to edit. So that's pretty nice. But actually, let's go ahead and see what I could do. I could come in, I could see what this looks like on different versions of iPhone. If it's iOS 6 or earlier, I could check landscape or portrait, and I have ability to zoom in, zoom out, a one-to-one view of actually what it would look like, what it is here. So let's go ahead and actually start building out this screen. So we're going to add in a text field. So we'll bring in this text field. I get nice designer lines if I'm in the center, on the right-hand side, one-to-one. We'll put this out here. We'll go ahead and add a button. Add this button here. Of course, we're going to line it up nearly perfect. Let's do that there. And then, of course, I have all the properties. So let's go ahead and set a button. We'll say get or query. We'll go ahead and make this a little bit bigger. There we go. A little bit better touch radius there. Additionally, what we can do is we can actually set the name of it, kind of like X name of what we want it to be. So this will be button query. There we go. This text field here will say text field search, for instance. Of course, we can change the default text. So maybe we'll do a tamarind monkey. That sounds pretty good. Mm. Tamarind sure does sound like Xamarin. That's interesting. A little history there for you, where the name came
from.
Coincidence?
I think not.
And we'll add a label. Let's just kind of do something easy before we actually start pulling in all the images, because it's a little bit more complex. But what we're going to do is we'll have a label here. We'll say label results. And here.
And again, this designer showed up in Xamarin 3.
Xamarin 3, correct. So kind of every year is kind of like a launch type of thing. Our birthday is Xamarin's 3 years old, so kind of a big launch of different things. So here I can double click directly and I can say image results. And just kind of enter that directly in there. Mm-hmm. I have all the different properties that I want if I want to change the text color, if I want to change the font that's on here, the alignment. Maybe I want that to be in the middle. Everything like you would expect, which is nice. If I come back up to the button, we can add some click handlers. If I go to the events area here, we can see I have down repeat, up inside. And these are all iOS. There's a lot of different events. They really like their events that are very descriptive. Or I could just go ahead and double tap. Double-clicked on that button, it adds my touch-up inside for me automatically
to
the code behind.
Which is the default event. How does that relate to a click? Is that the equivalent of a click?
That is.
For the iOS newbies?
Yeah, so a touch-up inside is you've literally touched down, and then the touch-up is that you've remained inside the button.
Okay.
So they have a touch-down inside, touch-up inside.
Right.
So it's a click down and up. So that allows you to do something such as the user clicked down but didn't really want to, they canceled it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is the event that everybody uses. Yep. So there we go. We have our storyboard designer. This is very simple. We're going to search for this and get some results back and update the label.
Yeah.
So what we can do now is we're in our code behind here. So what is our code behind? Our code behind is this UI view controller. It's the code behind for that single view. And there's things in here such as lifecycle events. We actually don't care about any of them besides this one, view did load. So this happens when my view loaded. And what we're going to do is create a Bing helper and bring in that namespace from our shared code. This will be my helper. I'll go ahead and create that on my view did load. Perfect.
Okay.
So what we want to do here is we want to go out and use our helper dot query images. This is going to take a query string, so we could do a text field search dot text. So all of the properties that are there, I named it text field search. I have access to it.
Right.
Didn't have to draw any lines, didn't have to do anything, because what the designer does is it creates this designer CS file automatically. It's doing all of the hard work, so you don't have to, including releasing all the resources, and here's the action and outlets that were generated for you automatically. Really nice. Mm-hmm. And this is all even version control. We have different code generation that's happening here. So that all happens for you automatically. So that's where that code lives. So here, this is an async awaitified method, so we'll mark that as
awaitified. I've never heard that word. Did you make that up?
I did.
That's awesome.
I did.
I love it.
So we're going to await on that, and then we'll say label results.txt, and we'll say search results, and we'll do helper.images.count, kind of put out something.
Yep.
But let's do one more thing, because that's all nice and handy and dandy, but let's actually...
To display them in, don't we?
Yeah. Well, we're going to do that
next.
Well, let's get something running, but let's first do a little activity spinner up here as well. So we'll call this, I like to call this like progress bar, even though it's not a progress bar, but I like to, that's my name that I give all the progress bars. So we'll just say progress bar dot start spinning, starting on the UI thread, goes off on the UI thread, and we'll do progress bar dot stop spinning. There we go.
Okay.
Let's just go ahead and compile this up, and let's just see if we get anything back to make sure that the UI that I have here is at least a one-to-one of this page, and then we'll add our collection view, add some images in, and we'll be good to go. And that's kind of like where actually the designer really shines, is actually building out our custom cells right into the application. So we're going to go ahead now. We're going to go ahead and start debugging here on the iPhone 5S simulator. It's nifty that I'm actually here right on my Mac, so it'll start up right on top of Visual Studio after it compiles up the application.
Otherwise, you just pop over to your Mac and the simulator runs there.
Exactly. If you had a phone plugged in, then you'd also get the phone. Yep. The phone would start debugging right on the phone. There we go. That looks pretty much the same as we can see. Yep. If I query, this is going to go off, and I get 50 results back. So that's not the most beautiful thing, but hey, you know.
Hey, this is pretty cool.
I drug out some controls.
Designer. You don't have to be an Xcode.
Don't have to be an Xcode.
Stay inside Visual Studio. That's awesome.
Exactly. So let's get a little bit more technical.
It's
you ready?
It's already a victory.
It's already a victory. We did it, and we're done. Done an episode. Yeah. So let's add a collection view. A collection view is more advanced than a list view. A list view is very much, or a table view, it's very much, table view is like a list view, everything is a single row entry. Mm-hmm. A collection view allows us to do some advanced things. So we're actually going to go ahead and drag this down. Actually, fill up the entire screen. And what we want to do is put that there. That's looking good. Now we can see there's a few things going on here. When I click this little arrow, it says that the collection view cells must have a reusable identifier, which if we'll go over what that means.
Okay.
We'll go over what that means. But we want to go ahead and...
Although interesting, on the designer it's red, but in the tooltip it's only yellow, so now I'm confused. Is that a problem or just a warning?
Just a warning. It is actually an error for sure.
Hmm.
Need to update that icon. So let's go ahead and change the background color here. Make it white. There we go. So change the color here. We're good to go. Now, what's interesting, and actually, we'll actually make it black for a second here, just so we can kind of design this out a little bit. So we'll change the default here. So what we can do is we have all the properties down here. And the items, what's interesting about the collection view is that each cell can have a different view if you want to.
Okay.
So each cell has a unique identifier. So if I wanted to come in, I could actually add multiple items. So we could actually see what this looks like. So what's interesting here is that we could lay out five different cells, but I'm going to use it just kind of as my layout. So when I click on the Layouts tab, we can actually start designing these cells. So we can make them a little bit bigger because we're going to put images in here. And we can see them design and come up in real time, which is really nice. Okay. So it's looking a little bit better. We have some section insets. So let's go ahead and set these to, let's say, 10. So we're shifting them around. That looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to lay out that control. Now what we can do is actually set this back to 1 and get rid of that. We'll call this my image collection. There. So we're going to name our entire thing. So now what we have to do is we have to describe what is in this cell. And we can design that right inside the designer. So we'll put a collection view cell inside of it. So now it's actually inside of here. And we can tell that, and we go to the document outline, or we could look at the class here as well. So UI collection view cell is what it is. And here's our reusable identifier. So we'll just say image. Now that we see that little arrow went away, it's happy. And then what we'll do is we'll give this a class name. So this will be my result image cell. Boom. Now what's interesting here is I just actually gave this a class name, and the designer generated the code behind for me automatically.
Okay.
That's important to know that that's what happened right there. Additionally, what we could do is say, if I zoom out a little bit here, we could come to our second page. What happens when we click on one of those items? So let's first go ahead and call this my second view controller. Name that there. Again, mm-hmm. if you come over here, it's created that code for me automatically. We're going to come back here. And again, I'm going to hold down control. Say when I click on one of these, let's create a segue. When I do that, we get a nice little image view here. And we get the default everything that's coming up, which is nice. All right, let's zoom back in a little bit here. So now all we have to do is actually lay out some controls. So we've set up the identifier, we've set up our cell, and we're just going to display an image inside of here. So here's my image view. I'm going to pop that right inside. There we go. Now we want to change a few things. So we go back to our layout. We'll make the X and Y 0. We know that this is 90 by 90. And now it's looking pretty good inside of it. We can come in and we can adjust a few other images. Maybe we'll just say aspect fill, for instance. So fill it to the aspect. And we'll call this the Bing image. And that'll generate the code behind actually on my image result. So this is for a specific cell. Mm-hmm. And now we have a way of exposing that image that we can reference later. And that's important. Okay. So the designer's really doing a lot of the heavy lifting here for me. And at this point, now we just need to actually fill in that information. We've been able to go off before query the 50 results, but let's fill it in. But let's do a few things. Let's get rid of this black background here. And let's actually just make this white. There we go. Updated in real time there for us. Go ahead and save these out.
So what role did creating 5 of them fill? That was so you could see what it's going to look like when there are multiple ones?
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, if I wanted to, I could come in and say, well, you know what, this actually has 2 different items in it, and it would actually then allow me to create 2 different cell types if I wanted to. I use it as a design guide reference just so I can actually see what it's going to look like here, which is very nifty.
Got it. Yep.
You can always adjust those on the fly. And the collection view is really cool because right now it's just in rows and columns, but you can give it, this is the default flow layout down here. So the collection view has this thing called a flow layout.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell it which way to go.
Okay.
But you can do anything. Like you could do a baseball field, you could do like a soccer field where all your images are laid out. It's really crazy. It's super advanced and headers and footers and everything that you kind of expect and jump lists almost. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the long list selector, but on a whole other level. It's probably iOS's most powerful control.
Got it.
So we're going to jump to our code behind here. And we do have to fill in a little bit more code behind because we need to do 2 things. We need to tell this view collection how to display some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to fill in the actual images. And then we need to give it the data source or its binding context almost. So what we're going to do is we're going to implement something called a UI collection view data source.
UI collection view data source, okay?
So every table view or collection view is a data source. It's basically a way of describing each cell and the number of items that are in it. We expose those in an interface. So we do that right here. So what's gone in here is we have a UI collection view cell. We need to return that to it. And then the number of items. So we can return the helper.images.count. Now we'll notice that this is called an enint. You might be wondering what an enint is, because that's not obviously a .NET int. This is a native int. Mm-hmm. Apple introduced 64-bit support for iOS devices.
Right.
And we obviously introduced 64-bit into Xamarin iOS. We introduced a few new data types specific only for iOS projects, which are native ints, which are 64-bit integers, and floats, and a few other properties as well. Miguel has a great talk from Evolve, if you really want to know what's going on there. But it's basically 32 versus 64. So what we can do is we can actually cast this integer, which is coming here as an nint, because an int, 32-int, always fits into a 64-bit int, which is nice.
So this is good because you're kind of you're showing us, you know, if you're coming from Windows Store and phone apps or just phone apps to this, it's my impression that there's more to learn to do iOS than to do Android. There's more new concepts. Is that correct?
Definitely some new concepts.
And I think that's a bit of an understatement.
Yeah, if you're coming from Android, I mean, you can think of the data source as the adapter on a list view. It's a representation. And in Windows world, we kind of live in these data templates and item templates that are describing what the data binding. But iOS and Android, they don't really have that concept. In the native way of doing it. So we kind of have to be a little bit more verbose.
Yep.
So what we're going to do here is we're going to grab our cell, and we know our collection view here has a way of dequeuing a reusable cell with an identifier. So here's a string, and we know this is image. And it wants our index path, which is actually passed in here. So we can just give that there. We know that we're always going to get back a result image cell here, because we're only describing one cell type. If you had multiple cell types, you would look at the index path and return the proper cell there. So we'll return the cell. But we actually need to fill in a little bit more information. So we need to set the image. So we need to expose the image. So here in the view cell code behind, we're going to create a little auto property, a UI image view. And we'll call this the image. And we will return get return what did I call it this dot bing image. So that was the name that I gave it in the designer, and I need to expose it to the outside world. So that's what I'm doing here. So just a little getter, and you would do that for any other properties. You have labels, text, things like that. So now what we can do is actually set. So if I do cell dot the image that I just exposed, I could actually set the UI image here. Now I'm going to use a nice little helper library that's in our component store, which actually enables you to download and automatically cache images. And if you don't know what the component store is, it's like NuGet, but it's a hand-curated list of components. So SAP, Azure Mobile Services, bar charts, signature pads. I'm just going to type in image here. And there's this thing called SD Web Image that asynchronously loads images into the background. And it gives us a nice little, nice little way of doing it here. So we'll actually take the sample from here. We'll add to the application. And here, it'll actually download that automatically for me, add my reference, and I'm good to go. We'll come up to my using and say using SD web image. There we go. Come down here back to my cell. The image. And of course, we don't have a placeholder, which is OK for now. What we're doing is we're going to give this thing an NS URL, which is a native iOS URL, but it just takes a URL. So let's go ahead and get the result. And we have helper.images, and we need to give it an index, and that's going to be our row. So our index path here has the row and column of what the item it's looking for. So now that we have our result, we can say result.images. Media URL, and this will automatically handle all the downloading and caching for us automatically. That's nifty. You could, of course, write that code yourself if the library doesn't suit you for your means, but we're good to go there. All right. Two final things left to do. One thing, we're going to come back up to our view did load. And our collection view, so our image collection, has a data source. So you can create a separate data source, or we have this concept of a weak data source, which means that our view controller is encompassing the actual data source. It's a little confusing, but know that you could actually put a data source that could be shared between multiple pages.
Okay.
A weak one says, no, I am this. I'm implementing the bare minimum here. So we're going to set that equal to this. And then what we need to do is, after we load this up, since there is no data binding, we actually need to actually tell iOS to take our collection view and reload data. Seems silly, but you totally got to do it. So that way it actually triggers the get cell to be updated again.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead now and run this application again. This will build it up here, a little build error. Let's see what's going on here. Oh, forgot a semicolon. Yep, got to have those. There we go. One more time. All right, let's go ahead and do a little clean and rebuild. So like I said, there, it's a little bit, you know, getting cell, kind of understanding this concept. It's not a lot of code to write in general, but this is kind of the concept of tying up the user interface and the code behind and understanding that a little bit more.
Yeah, you have to understand the platform. You have to understand how it all works. You can't just come over with your XAML knowledge and, you know, expect to immediately be up and running. You have to understand the application lifecycle. You have to understand the words that they use to describe things. So there's stuff to learn.
Exactly. So if I say query now, this will go out. Now we got a list of monkeys coming in. Excellent. In real time.
Yep.
Which is pretty awesome.
Cool.
If I come back up here and do something such as, say, Xbox One, for instance, query that. Now we get a bunch of images of Xbox
there, see
One.
What you get. Usually you get a British soccer goalie who's oddly enough more famous than you.
See, that there, him?
He
there he is.
Yep, there he is.
Oh no, let's see this. We'll query. This is actually, it's actually pretty fun. I do this. I don't think we're going to get any. I do have safe search on, so that's good. We have some VS,
okay,
we have some episodes in here.
Yep.
Let's do me. This is going to be scary. Ooh. That was very nice, and in the Bing API, there is safe search on, which is really nice. That's me.
All right.
It's pretty cool. Drinking coffee, doing something.
Yep. Excellent.
So we can actually get rid of this bug, too. So we can see that when I hit return, nothing's actually happening, which is really interesting how iOS works. So what you actually have to do is called label and then dismiss. Nope. What is it? Oh, there's so many methods. All the methods. So on each of these, you have to do a resign first responder. There we go. It's a very interesting method that says when I basically lose focus, whatever the first responder in the chain is, which happens to be the keyboard, go ahead and resign it. So for instance, when I hit that search button, if the keyboard's up, dismiss it.
Okay.
iOS doesn't handle that for you automatically, which is a little bit tricky sometimes. All right, cool. So let's do a little bit more here. Let's go ahead and I want to show off one important feature to kind of realize what happens here. So let's say now I want to design, but I want to actually take this to iPhone 6. There we go. Now look what happened. Our user interface didn't respond at all to iOS shifting sizes. Now, built into the designers, things called constraints and auto layout. So auto layout can automatically shrink and resize some things for you. Constraints enable you to actually specify how a UI should react when rotated or different sizes occur. So we can see when I click on a view once, we get these little handlebar balls here to resize the view. Now I'm going to click again on that view. Ideally. Let's go ahead and spin it up one more time. So when you click once, you get the size. When you click twice, we're going to get a handlebar. There we go.
There we go. Okay.
A little handlebar. And you see the next load is really fast if you happen to close it. So we get these little handlebars, and what that those are, they're for actually setting up the constraints. So you can say, iOS, how far should I stay away from other items when I resize? So we're going to go ahead and pin these items, and we can see that we have a warning here, and this will tell us like if we want to automatically fill out some things. What we're going to do is we're going to pin these items to the left side, to the right side. We'll move it up here so you can see it, and also to the bottom. There we go. And we see now it's happy. So we've set it. Okay. Now there is amazing documentation on constraints and auto layout. It is mind-boggling. It makes you really feel like a VB.NET developer sometimes. You know, just laying down some controls and knowing that. But what's interesting here is that I'm basically saying stay this far away from those controls. So when I actually come over to iPhone 6 Plus, we can see it actually fills up the entire display for us, which is really nice, or rotate the device. So it's a really important concept. And in here, we have ways of kind of updating frames and removing all your constraints and doing that automatically. So let's do one thing. We know that we can navigate across. Let's go ahead and add a few more items in here. Let's go over here. Let's add our image. So we're going to add an image that we're going to want to tweet out. So it's kind of our detail view. And then we'll add a button here. And we'll just tweet that out. Let's do that. Let's go ahead and come back over here. So we'll go ahead and make this image a little bit bigger. We'll kind of ignore all the constraints right now at this point. But, you know, only got so much time. So we'll call this button tweet. And we'll change the text down here to tweet. There we go. Go ahead and also set the property here of image tweet, for instance. Just kind of make that nice. We'll scale this to aspect fill. And of course, we'll at least be good and we'll center this. Like we'll do something in here. Of course, we can now add auto constraints, all this information. But how do I pass information from this over to here?
Right.
Now, I could do one of two things. I'm going to do kind of a, it'll work. It'll work okay. So what we're going to do is we could actually pass the data over to it, so if we want to display different information, or we can just pass the image. We already have the image downloaded, so let's just pass the image all the way across. So when I double click on this, we got our touch up there. So we want to do a few things. What we want to do is come in and we'll override our view did load, or view did appear. And what we'll want to do is we're going to go ahead and pass in, we'll do a public UI image. So we'll pass it the image. We'll give it some context here. Mm-hmm. So we'll call this the image. I'm a big fan of the image and my image. So I'll say this is the image. And we will go ahead and do a get set on it. Just kind of nice there. Now what we can do is we can come in and say image tweet dot image. And we'll set that equal to the image that comes in. Now whenever I want to tweet this, I can come in and say let's go ahead.
Semicolon.
Yeah, good old semicolon. There we go. So we have the image. We can actually generate and we can tweet this out. So let's go ahead and create a new Twitter built into iOS as a way of generating a little tweet automatically via the Twitter API. So we can do set. Add image. We'll say the image. There we go. And we can do a present view controller async, and we'll pass tweet and true there. Perfect. There we go. Okay, so now we need a way of actually getting from here, what I clicked on, over to the second screen. So I'm going to override one more method to be able to pass the information. So what we'll do here is we'll override prepare for segue. Remember, these are very verbose. So I was creating a segue. Mm-hmm. You can prepare for a segue. So this gets executed before we transition. So what we can do now is our segue has two controllers. It has a source controller and a destination view controller. So that means the controller's actually been built. It's there. It's ready for us to take advantage of, but it hasn't been presented yet. So this is getting ready to. So what we can do is we can say VC, and we can cast that to our second view controller. That's there. Now what we can do is also take the sender, and that's actually going to be our image cell. So this will be our cell. So result image cell. our sender. And at this point, what we can do is we can say our second page, take the image and set it equal to the image from there, dot image, all the images. So we're kind of preparing what's about to happen. So this information will now be sent over, and then we could click that button and tweet it out. So there's our designer. There's our second image. Got the click handler. This is going to, OnView did appear. It'll present that image. And now we can start and actually see this in real time. As long as I didn't miss a semicolon. Ah, got to put a new in there. That's probably probably important to create a new one of those. You got to love sometimes the telesense. It's almost like too nifty. It's like, come on, where's my squiggly line? You know you want to. All right, we've got a little, let's try it one more time here. Rebuild it up here. There we go. So we'll go and query those. There's all of our Tamarin monkeys. This one looks adorable. Got our image there. We'll go ahead and tweet this out. We'll say, hey, VS Toolbox, this Tamarin is adorable. Hashtag Xamarin. There we go. We'll go ahead and post that. Now, to actually show that this is all real, live, we can go to Twitter/me. There it is.
Fantastic.
It just happened 7 seconds ago.
Nice.
Awesome. Now, of course, I could then navigate back and forth. I could come in and actually, you know, type like Xbox One in there, query that. That's actually going to update here, go back and forth. That's not an Xbox One. That's definitely an Xbox. There we go. Back and forth. And we've created our first application. Now I could apply filters. I could add sepia tones. Almost create a little Instagram clone, if you will, just for doing image searches. Because I'm actually in the native bits. I have all the images there. I'm good to go. But the nice thing here is that I'm actually using all of the native controls, building it all inside of Visual Studio. I didn't have to do anything outside of Visual Studio once. It's all right here.
Didn't fire up Xcode at all.
Didn't fire up Xcode. No need to. You're right here, building applications right inside of Visual Studio, 100%.
Excellent. Yeah. Nice. So if you've done iOS apps before, then you understand all the words, and you understand the storyboard. If you're starting brand new and you aren't quite prepared to do that, you might look at Xamarin Forms.
You can, yes. Yeah, exactly. So Xamarin Forms will provide a cross-platform UI layer. It doesn't do everything.
Of course not.
So obviously like something like the collection view doesn't exist. It's a more complex control at this point. And then obviously tying into the native bits, such as like all these sepia tones and filters, they're doable. It takes quite a bit of work, whereas it's nice to be able to do this. Now, we didn't create the most beautiful application in the world, but I only had like 30, 40 minutes. So at this point, though, it's kind of nice. I wanted to show the main features, the layout system, auto layout, constraints, and that you're right here with everything that you're going to feel comfortable with. And of course, it's up to you. BPIG, Xamarin Native, or Xamarin Forms, whatever fits best for your application. Right.
But this is cool because it's everything you need inside Visual Studio.
Right.
And you can open it in Xcode if you need to. You can start in Xcode, move over to Visual Studio.
Yep.
Cool, cool stuff.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's call it good here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So again, this is number 2 of 4. We'll have plenty of references and resources on the show description, and we'll come back and do the next 2.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. Thank you.
All right. Hope you had fun with that. We will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.